with your Bibles open. Can you see good enough to read out there? All right, so Isaiah chapter 11. See as good as you can. I'll read for you as best as I can. Isaiah chapter number 11. I'll read the first five verses for you this evening. Thank you very much. Isaiah chapter number 11. I'll read the first five verses for you this evening out loud. You won't read anything. I'll just read it for you tonight. Isaiah chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And we'll pray this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the Word of God. Lord, this evening is a unique atmosphere, and it is enjoyable and in a bit of an oddity. But in our minds, many of us, I believe, have gone back to stories that we've heard, Lord, messages that we've heard preached, and stories of yesteryear where the power of God fell. Lord, of generations of people that didn't necessarily have the best of everything, but they were content with what they have. And they loved you, and they loved people. Lord, we truly are blessed, and we do thank you for all that we have. We thank you for the electricity, the running water, the air condition. We don't want to lose it. But Lord, in the same sense, may we, as was preached this morning, not shift our focus from what you've given us to what you want us to do. Now tonight, as the Word of God is open to us, once again, as it has been for many, many centuries, it's still just as applicable today as when these words were written these many years ago. But I ask that you'd fill your our pastor now with your Holy Spirit's power. But may we be yielded and prepared in our mind and in our heart to receive the truth as it's been prepared for us. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen, and you may be seated.
I want to preach to you tonight. I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to say some very pointed things tonight. I'm not planning on going long this evening, but I never plan on it, so it doesn't matter. God made man in his image. That means this: man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. When man sinned, his body didn't die immediately. His soul did not die immediately, but something died immediately. That was his spirit. The body is this amazing thing you see in front of you right now. The soul is that which is communicating with you right now. That's my personality. It's my mind. It's my emotions. That's what a person's soul is. The spirit is that which allows me to communicate with God. When man sinned, the separation between God and man was that man's spirit died, and man could no longer communicate back and forth with God. Now, that's what being born again is. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, boy, when that thing's dark, you can't see it. In John chapter 3, when Jesus talked to Nicodemus, and he said, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, what do you mean? Should I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? He was talking of a physical birth. Jesus said, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. In other words, our spirit is born by the Holy Spirit. We've already been born in the flesh, but we need born again in the spirit. That's what salvation is. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. And that spirit is what allows us to communicate with God. Ezekiel 37, verse number 26. Let me read it to you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God rebirths our spirit, but he also moves in to us. So not only do we now have a spirit, we have the eternal genetics of God, the Holy Spirit. That's what the word regeneration, regening, regeneticizing means in the Bible. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God? Wow. What? Which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is God's. When we get saved, and I don't have time to turn to these others, 2 Timothy 1:4, Romans chapter 8, verse number 11, the Bible says that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of us. Please let me say this very carefully, and I mean this. That doesn't mean this. When you got the Holy Spirit of God, you don't lay on the floor and flip and flop and start talking all the motorcycle names backwards. That has nothing to do with it. The moment you get saved, you're being born again, and that rebirth, just like my mother was there, and there was a child born, I didn't get a different mama. Now, I may have laid there and flipped and flopped because they smacked me on the backside, but that had nothing to do with it. You see, that means this. A saved person has a new spirit, but our spirit is affected by our soul and our body. Man's spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Man's spirit is reborn and we have the Holy Spirit, but man's spirit is still affected by our sinful body and our sinful soul. Now, it has eternal genetics. It will live forever. But the Holy Spirit is not sinful. We are. Now, when you get saved, you don't immediately become as spiritual as God. Have you noticed? You have a lifetime of growing in grace, allowing the Holy Spirit and the Bible to control you instead of your sinful flesh. But we're still affected by our sinful flesh. We're still affected by our sinful emotions, by our sinful mind. The Christian life then becomes a life of learning to let the Holy Spirit and the Bible to control our spirit rather than our sinful flesh and our soul, that's our emotions, our feelings, to control us. I am so sick and tired of a society controlled by their feelings. I'm sick of education about how does this make you feel? 2 and 2 equals 4, I don't care how you feel. It doesn't matter how it makes you feel, 2 plus 2 is 4. If you put 3 or 5 or 10, it's wrong, wrong answer. Well, you may hurt their feelings by saying that. Good. Hurt feelings means you'll get it right next time. It doesn't bother me. When I was playing baseball, the umpire didn't say strike one, strike two. Oh, how do you feel about that? I never had an umpire one time ask me how I felt about it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? No human is 100% controlled by the Holy Spirit 100% of the time. We are sinners who still sin. Only Jesus was able to leave heaven, come to earth, live a sinless life and not allow his body or his soul to control the spirit. He was the only one. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, there are five, I'm going to use the word traits for the moment, that a person yielded to the Holy Spirit regularly then has. Listen to this very carefully here. You do not get these things by trying to get them. You get them as a result of being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. You can't try to develop these five things. But as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God in your life, the Holy Spirit allows these five traits to begin moving and growing and taking over in your life. You cannot develop them on their own. It is a lifelong process of yielding to the Holy Spirit that brings them. Now, listen to these next couple statements. If you miss everything, do not miss this. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit is not something that we just say and repeat over and over. Yielding is a twofold action. Yielding is an act of submitting your will to the desires of the Holy Spirit, then obeying the word of God. It takes both to be yielded. It's, by the way, being yielded to the Holy Spirit has no feelings. It's not listening to a song saying, oh, did you feel the Spirit move? Nobody felt the music moving. Being yielded to the Holy Spirit is me saying, God, I need you, and I yield myself to you, but if that's all I do, I am not yielded to the Holy Spirit. I must then go do that which I may or may not want to do. Yielding to get on a highway is not just reading the sign that says yield. It's getting up to speed before you get on the highway and letting those who are already on the highway allow you to merge into them. Just because you read the sign, which most of you didn't, ouch, went to meddling real fast again, didn't I? Just because you read the sign doesn't mean you yielded. You could read the sign and sit there and do nothing and you haven't yielded. You've got to move forward. You got to put action to it. So yielding to the Holy Spirit is not just telling him you're yielding. It's telling him that you're yielding, then using biblical principle that he has given, either through the Bible that you've read or through counsel that you're giving, and doing what you should do. That is scripturally what yielding to the Spirit is. Now, we're getting to the main part of the sermon. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, this is talking about Jesus. If you noticed there, it says, and there should come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Oh, Jesse is the father of King who? David. King David, if you go to the book of Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus is traced through the bloodline of royalty through King David. So it's talking about Jesus here. Notice, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. Now, this is talking about Jesus, and it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, watch this. In other words, he says there's five spirits. that Jesus had as a person. These five traits is the term I used before. There were five spirits, not five Holy Spirits. But as Jesus was yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, God gave him five spirits in his earthly body as a byproduct of being yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. He did not work on developing them. By the way, it's just like the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. I've heard so many preachers and so many churches teach on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, faith, temperance, meekness. All those things in Galatians. And we ought to develop the fruit of the Spirit in our life. You can't do it. It's the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit. Those fruit of the Spirit come as we yield to the Holy Spirit. When I need to love and I'm deficient, I yield to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit of God, I need to love, and I've got to love them with your love. Would you love through me? And the Holy Spirit then gives me the love I need to love someone with. When I need joy and I feel like coming unscrewed, I say, God, I've got to have joy. Instead of doing what I want to do, I yield to you, give me joy, and God gives me the joy I need when I don't feel like having joy. It's not something I develop, it's something I yield to and obey, and God gives it. It is the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of man. And these spirits in Isaiah 11, it is a part of our spirit, not the Holy Spirit, but it's five spirits that the Holy Spirit builds in us, in our body, and in our soul. And I want to teach you about those five spirits tonight. You ready? Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. In Isaiah 11, verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. I love that. Matter of fact, it says in verse number 3, and shall make him of quick understanding. That term, quick understanding, that means able to assimilate quickly. The ability to look at something, see it, understand it quickly, and it doesn't take 6 months to figure it out. I was trying to help a preacher recently, and I was talking with someone that knew that preacher, and they said, he's a very good man, a very sincere man, but it takes him too long to figure things out. He's got to have time to grow. He'll have a problem presented to him, and he doesn't have enough confidence to say, here's your answer. He'll say something and then 24 hours later come back and say, I better call them and tell them this is really what I should have said because I've had time to think about it. That doesn't work real well. It's kind of like going to the doctor and he tells you that you need heart surgery and 24 hours later he calls back and says you just need your gallbladder worked on. And neither one's good, but I'd rather have the gallbladder problem than the heart problem. The wisdom comes because the Holy Spirit only works within the parameters of the Word of God. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit cannot lead you to do something outside of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God has to work within the parameters of the Word of God, or He is not God. When somebody comes and says, well, you're supposed to sell your house and give all your savings to the church because the rapture is going to take place and you won't need them anyway and it's coming quick, tell them they're full of beans and go somewhere else. Amen. Well, I feel the Spirit leading me. Book, chapter, and verse. When somebody tells me the Spirit is leading, I ask them to show me where in the Bible it says that. Most of the time, well, I just have this feeling. Well, I don't find a feeling in the Holy Spirit going together anywhere in Scripture. He cannot work by feeling. He works by the Bible and the Word of God. Now, it's not by circumstances. Well, I told God that if on this Tuesday that this happened, that I would do this. Folks, I need a sign. That's not how God works. I hate to disappoint you. You want a sign because you want to be totally confident. There is such a thing called faith. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You're looking at a man that's had to live by faith an awful long time. And there's times you'll say, "Preacher, are you sure?" "Yep, been down this road. Don't worry. But it's okay. Trust me." As I used to tell my daughter when she was afraid of storms, knock it off. You don't have to be afraid unless I'm afraid. If I get afraid, time to get afraid. Until then, don't worry about it. And I haven't been afraid yet. So, a person yielded to the Spirit lives closer to the way the Bible says than we in our flesh want to live. And the closer you live to the Word of God, the more wisdom that you'll have. The more decisions you make based on Bible principle, the quicker you can assimilate things as they come to you. People want to come and tell me a big long story, and I'll stop them halfway through and say, "Stop, just ask me your question. I don't need to hear it all. I know where you're going and I know what the answer is. Ask me the question." Say, "Why?" "Because I've talked to 10,000 people that have gone through the same thing. Don't worry." You see, as you live in the Word of God, as you live yielded to the Spirit, you get a wisdom the world cannot give because they're trying to live contrary to the Word of God. Our church is not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to have the world's music. We're not to have the world's culture. I wasn't worried about COVID and being culturally accepted. I wanted to be God accepted. Too many churches shut down to be good to their communities. And by the way, they probably were by being shut down. Since when did God die? Since when did sickness cause God to not be able to show his true power? You realize during COVID, all but 3 weeks of 2 years, we had visitors in church? Had people saved every week? I guess God's still alive.
Yes, sir.
God didn't say, "Obey me as long as there's not COVID." He didn't say, "Yield to me as long as there's not COVID." Now, I'm not, you could use any disease you want. A person yielded to the Spirit does not complain about separating from the world because they're enjoying seeing the wisdom of God work in their life. To get closer to God, you will have to be farther from the world. You don't have to worry about going farther from the world. They'll separate from you, trust me. You start talking about church, God, Jesus, the Bible, salvation, watch them scatter. It doesn't happen. You know, you can get a seat in on an airplane anywhere you want. Just pull your Bible out and start reading. You don't have to focus on what you're giving up. You need to focus on who you're getting. It's not a matter of what I have to give up. It's a matter of who I get. The Holy Spirit helps you understand, and he helps you understand more quickly than those who are not yielded to the Holy Spirit. A lady came in tonight, and she's newer to our church. I won't embarrass her. She picked up one of the death booklets recently. And she said, That right there has been the answer I've been looking for 5 years. It's so simple. Why? It's Bible. We listen to too much psychology. If we'll just obey God, it's amazing what can happen. And I thank God that she got it. I really do. It's nothing. It's just the Word of God. But nobody's teaching it anymore. Everybody doing all right? So the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. By the way, that's why if you'll choose a spiritual person, generally one of the pastors, myself or Brother Josh, or some spiritual pastor, not somebody just has a title, they can assimilate your questions and see through it very quickly. Number two, the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of counsel and might. Isaiah 11:2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might." The Holy Spirit will cause others to want your advice. You are not going to have to offer your opinion without it being asked for. May I say something? Giving your opinion when it wasn't asked for usually is not a good idea. Most people, if they didn't ask for it, don't care what your opinion is. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got one and you pick your own. But when you start yielding to the Holy Spirit and people start seeing good decisions, they're more apt to come to you and say, "How do I make a better decision here? Because I've seen the results of your decisions and I'd like to make a better decision." The Holy Spirit gives us strength. Notice it says a spirit of counsel and might. That word might means power or strength. It gives you a strength for a living. Just 2 weeks ago, I was up virtually all night, Saturday night into Sunday morning with Miss O.C. and Brother Harry and Miss Kathy. I came here. I preached Sunday morning, ran everything Sunday morning, and I wasn't walking around, "Oh, you pray for me, I'm so tired. I think we'll cut everything short because I'm going to go take a nap." No, you didn't. If I wouldn't have told you, you wouldn't have known. Got done preaching, ran by their house. Harry Jr. looked at me and he said, "You're sick." He said, "Had you not told me," he said, "had I not been here all night," he said, "you look better than I do." I said, "Thank you. I always have." Then I ran real fast because he's real big. Amen. And he said, "Preacher, how do you do it?" I said, "I've truly understood what the Holy Spirit and God is my strength means." I went home. I ate. I slept for about an hour and a half or so. Came back. Preached Sunday night church. Ran everything. Went back. Spent a good while with Harry and Kathy and Osea again. And I was fine. Say, "How's that happen?" The Holy Spirit gives that. I told him, "My phone doesn't ring more than twice in the middle of the night. I'll catch it on the second ring." Amen, Brother Harry. He said, "Preacher, I don't know how you do it. You sounded like you were awake." No, I went from dead sleep to hello. But God somehow does that. I can't explain it. But God does that. The Holy Spirit will draw people to want your advice and want your help and want the strength you have. Don't tell everybody what you think. Wait for them to ask. The more you tell everybody what you think, the less they care. Only answer what people ask. Don't choke them with what you want them to know. Can I tell you what I do in counseling? I help people and I start them here. I want to get them here. And it takes me a long time to get them there. I've had a family that's having some marriage issues. I've been counseling them. for about two and a half months. You know, just this last week, they came to church for the first time for a counseling appointment in the same car. I went, glory to God, I'm getting somewhere. You say, hey, preacher, yeah, it happens. And things are moving a very good direction. You say, who is it? None of your stinking business. But too many times we try to choke people, wanting them to get everything that I know. Be careful, parents. When they're 6 or 7 or 8 or 9, they're not 40 or 50. They're not going to understand everything you understand. They haven't experienced the life you have. And if you brought them up right, hopefully they won't experience some of the things you're afraid of. You don't have to warn them about them. Just tell them what they're supposed to do. Be careful when I teach or when I preach. I don't dump the whole truck. Some of you feel like it. I just dumped the shovel right on top of your heads when I did, and sometimes smack you with the shovel, but I didn't unload the whole truck. Be careful that you don't congest or clog or choke or weigh down people with way too much than they can handle. You know, new Christians, give them time to grow. You weren't Mr. or Miss Perfect as soon as you got saved either. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I'm sure if we looked hard enough, we could find an area you're not where you should be too. When you live yielded to the Holy Spirit, though, people will come and begin to ask questions. And you answer their questions and you nudge them a little farther. And then they'll come and say, but, then you need to grow in this area. Oh, okay. And you grow them a little at a time. When you plant a tree, it doesn't produce fruit 3 days later. It takes months, years, sometimes decades. We have to look at people in the same vein. Number three, the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of knowledge. It says the spirit of knowledge. Oh, I love this. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord is next after that. The Holy Spirit gravitates to truth, not to feeling. The charismatic brethren have screwed up the doctrine of the Holy Spirit and perverted it. I don't find emotions, feelings, sensations, opinions associated with the Holy Spirit. I do see truth and the Word of God associated with the Holy Spirit. He has to work with truth. That's why the Holy Spirit can't work around a wrong Bible, because it's not truth. That's why the Holy Spirit can't work around a preacher who does not preach biblical truth. Everybody doing okay? I know a lot of preachers that don't preach biblically, and the Holy Spirit's as dead on them as it is down at the cemetery. They're as dead as last year's Christmas tree. Well, they sound so suave. They have so much understanding of the scriptures. Isn't it amazing how they talk in types that God doesn't even mention? They tell you things that even God doesn't even know. The Holy Spirit doesn't hang around non-truth. I'm not critical of when I say this. And I truly mean this. I don't read fiction books at all. I don't have one on my shelf. Don't read them at all. There's nothing sinful about it, but my job is to be so filled with the Spirit that He has so much truth to work with. When I need it, He can draw from it. If I'm not careful, I could fill my mind with things that aren't truth, that my mind may think is truth. That's why Hollywood is such a dangerous industry. Fills our mind with things that are not true, but everybody tries to turn them into truth. Those of you that are my age or a little older, remember playing Evel Knievel when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah.
On your bike? Yeah, I wonder how many tires were popped and how many bones were broken trying to jump things we should not have done. Oh, my soul. We saw something somebody else did and tried to bring it down, and it wasn't real. Nor did we even know how many bones that man broke. He had broken every bone in his body. They didn't tell you that when you're a kid. My dad would say, don't do that, you're going to break your neck. Well, I didn't break my neck, but a few other things I did. That's why I'm careful about Hollywood, entertainment. I'm just going to say it, this Marvel superhero thing. Where do they get their powers? Virtual world games and this internet gaming stuff. We have people that are building relationships with games and technology. I'm talking about Facebook's. Well, I've got so many friends. Right. I don't hang around people who lie. I don't hang around fiction. It doesn't mean it's sinful if you read a fictional book. But as your pastor, my job is to be filled with so much true information. By the way, that's why I don't listen to the news. It's nothing but lies. You didn't believe them when they talked about Trump then. Why do you believe what they're saying now? Now, wait a minute. My job is to be so filled with truth that when you have a question, the Holy Spirit has truth to bring to my mind that I can use to help you. So I fill my brain with truth. There's not much there, so there's not a lot of truth there. The Holy Spirit thrives on fact and truth. That's what John 14:26 is all about. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit of God, shall guide you in all truth. Did you know, children, that if you're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, He can guide you with your schoolwork? I'm going to make a statement here. Good grades are a matter of spirituality, not intelligence. You can yield to the Holy Spirit of God after you've put the truth in your mind, and you can do better. I didn't say you'd be a straight A student. Well, I remember my first test in college, Old Testament survey. My teacher got up. There's got to be 600 students in this class. He's time for your first test. Turn it over. We're going to pray. He gets up and says, "Dear God, help these students. Help those who studied and listened in class. Those who learned what they're supposed to learn, help them do well. And help those that didn't study and those that didn't pay attention, help them fail and help me to know who they are. Amen." Turn your test over and start. Can I tell you something? I watched grown men cry. I learned second week of college. I better put truth in. By the way, I got an A on my test. Yeah. I can't say that I got all A's, but I got an A on that test. Amen. You see, we're not, the Holy Spirit doesn't thrive on emotions or circumstances. The Holy Spirit thrives on truth. People who yield to the Spirit have generally better knowledge than those that don't. Look at the educated fools we have today. The educated fools who teach in our schools. Hey, that rhymed. The educated fools that run our country in politics. Well, did you go to an accredited college? No, and I'm glad. I don't need a bunch of God-hating, truth-hating people to tell me that the college I went to doesn't have a good education program. I'll put my knowledge up against theirs any day. On virtually any topic. Everybody doing all right? Mine's based on truth. So, God gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us a spirit of knowledge. He gives us a spirit of counsel and might. He gives us a spirit of wisdom and understanding. Then it says he gives him a spirit of the fear of the Lord. I'll hit this very quickly. That means this. The fear of the Lord is a humility of knowing your place. The Holy Spirit will keep you humble and remind you you're not God. God is God. Man wants to be his own God. When I get to the point where I think I can do this myself, look out. I'm about to flop. Before I left my office tonight, I said, God, I can't do it without you. I've got to have you. Please help me. I need the Holy Spirit to help me so that I can do what I can't do naturally on my own. I realize God is God and I'm not God. I tell people all the time when I help them with life decisions, I'm not God. I can't tell you everything. I can tell you what the Bible says and we'll work our way through it, but I'm not God. When I don't get my way, I want his way. I've got to get out of the way so that he has what he wants and me not worried about what I want. Too many people are worried about what you want. God's not a genie in the bottle. You rub it and he pops out and gives you what you want. And when you don't get what you want, you complain and whine and cry. Well, it must not have been God's will then. By the way, I'd rather submit by choice than for God to push my head down in the mud. I found out it's a whole lot easier just to, it's okay, God, I'm down. I surrender. I'd rather submit by choice than submit by his choice. Number four, five, and I'm done. And I love this. Verses 3 says, and he shall make him of quick understanding, fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with the equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. He shall slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. That is this. It is a spirit of justice. We lack justice in America today. One of God's greatest attributes is justice. The first thing we as Americans need to do is go to Washington, D.C. and get our leaders cleaned up. They need to follow the same rules that we follow, called the Constitution of the United States of America. They need to start paying their taxes. Amen. They need to follow the same laws that we follow. Amen. We need to put term limits on them so that they're not in there forever. Amen. And we shouldn't be paying their social or their pensions. Amen. Politics is not a career game. That's right. Now, wait a minute. Justice means this. The same laws apply to everybody. Red and yellow, black and white, man, woman, and there ain't nothing in between. Everybody doing all right? I have no problem saying that. The justice system, if you look at the statue of justice, it's someone standing there holding the scales of justice that's blindfolded. When Brother Josh brings an issue to the school to me, and it's a judgment based on a student, he never brings the name of the child because it doesn't matter. We're basing it on the situation, not the person. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be done? If you're being just by a biblical standard, you're being right with God. If you are not just, you are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because God is just. He is a just and holy God. He is the source of all justice. And if we're not living by justice, by the way, that's why the godless are not just. They have to claim racism or gender, whatever. Things that they can't even control. We're not to judge by what we think we see, news media. Just because you saw a video or a portion of a video doesn't mean you saw everything. Anybody doing all right? Just because you heard what you thought you heard doesn't mean you heard the whole thing. Well, I know that person. I know what they did before. Yeah, right. Justice says doesn't matter what they did before. Let's deal with it right now. We're not to judge by our own marks of righteousness, but by the word of God. Make sure you have all the facts in before you make an opinion. People have asked me about different court hearings and different things in the news, and I say, I don't know. Well, don't you have an opinion? No, because I'm not sitting there hearing all the facts. It's not for me to decipher all the facts. I'll wait till it comes out and hope that a jury heard all the facts correctly. I don't form opinions about court cases and try them before they've ever been tried. Well, I know this person's innocent. How do you know that? Have you heard all the facts? Well, I know that person's guilty. How do you know? Have you heard all the facts? Ouch. Just stay in your area of justice and don't come out into others' areas. Pizza time. Meat lovers, here we are. Anyway, you know, it's not my job to judge in your area of justice. I'm not supposed to come where you work and say, Brother Joe, you're not doing your job right. Now, number one, I ain't touching the wires. Number two, I couldn't tell you if it's right or wrong because I can't see which wires are what. That's why colorblind people don't play with wires, amen? At least the ones that don't have curly hair. I'm to stay in my area of justice. I'm not to come to your home and tell you you're rearing your kids wrong. I'm to stand here and preach the word of God and tell you what the Bible says. If you come ask me my advice, I'll give it to you scripturally. But I'm not going to come tell you you're doing something right or wrong. You don't criticize in the form of opinions of others' decisions outside your area. We got to be careful how much we say about somebody else and their work when we don't even know what was involved with it. When somebody gets attacked, I don't believe the attack. We've got one of our Jefferson County commissioners being attacked right now. I texted Jennifer and I said, I smell the press in this. I said, can you shed any light on any facts? She said, Preacher, you're exactly right. I said, will you tell that person this preacher is for them? I'm against the attack. When someone's attacked, especially in the news media, I'll go to the attacked, not to the attackers. Because 99 times out of 100, I'll be right. God gives us five spirits as the Holy Spirit, and as we yield to him over a long period of time comes. He gives us the spirit of wisdom and understanding. He gives us the spirit of counsel and might. He gives us a spirit of knowledge. He gives us a spirit of the fear of the Lord, and he gives us a spirit of justice. When you get saved and the Holy Spirit moves in, you got a whole lot more than you knew you could get. Maybe we ought to start just yielding to the Spirit and not worry about the byproducts. But all of a sudden, as you see the byproducts happen, you'll say, I must be yielded. And it makes you want to yield a little more. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We all need to yield more. It's not a matter of if you do, we all do. We all ought to yield by not just telling him, but obeying him.